welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly and deeply grateful. I really am that you chose to be with me. I know I say that every time we get on the radio and you're going, I know what he's going to say. But I really am. I'm amazed at the response, and I'm very, very grateful for your loving kindness towards our radio program here. Today, we're going to talk about goodness on this program. I got to give the date, July 19th, 2020. So there you are. That's the rules of the game here. What is goodness? I think a lot of things are being redefined in our world today. Many, many things that we kind of took for granted, that we kind of thought, well, I know what good is. I know what goodness is. I think a lot of us thought that. But now it's taking a different turn. What has changed? All sorts of things have changed. One of the things is that our tolerance for violence and our tolerance for government even is waning very, very lean right now, as it should. We are beginning to see that we were a nation full of rules and thoughts and ideals that were not fulfilled, nor were there an intent to fulfill these things. They were just a bunch of rhetoric, as it were. So now we're looking at change in this world. Maybe change all over the world for the sake of peace, let's hope. But I don't want to lay that out like it's going to happen, because as even I've quoted this to you many times, Jesus said, in this world, there will always be wars and rumors of wars. And the reason for all of that has to do with our lack of consciousness, our lack of interest in the basic goodness of life itself. So how would we define goodness? How would we? What is goodness? Well, it has to do, its ultimate definition is found in the word mercy. To be able to be merciful, to give the sense of kindness and compassion before the whole idea of living in selfishness and pride. There has to be a sense of consciousness for there to be authentic goodness. Goodness is derived out of consciousness, following the way, following the natural way, the authentic way of life itself, learning how to understand it, learning how to let ourselves become amenable in it, to become one in it, to align ourselves in it. That is the ultimate goodness. But when we don't know what those principles are, when we're not interested in those principles, when we no longer think of them as something that is coherent to our logic and reasoning, then we have problems. Remember this and try always to understand. The love you seek, the love that is authentic, is not realized nor maintained through conventional living, traditional living, prideful living, living out of the intellect. It is only found in the heart, the authentic heart. And when one realizes the authentic heart and is even interested in it, that is when something beautiful begins to unfold in us, and we begin to fall into a line with that delicate balance of living in the world but not letting the world live in us. It's a delicate balance. Let's go to our questions. The first one comes from Ryan. He lives in Southern California. Thank you, Ryan. He said, I've lost my interest in goodness. I don't believe it exists here on earth. How can anything turn out good here on earth? Please comment. Ryan. Ryan, nothing good comes out of all of this. There is always an ever-increasing unfoldment of human mischief. People regard their humanity as being all-important, as the sacred cow of life, and it is not. Being fully human is being instinctual to our DNA. It imbibes us to live out of the domination of the fittest, you know, the Darwinian thing. And there is absolutely nothing noble about humanity. Nothing. I mean, it does what it does. It functions and creates societies and cultures and things like that. And people will say, well, what about creativity and all of that? Well, that comes from the divine through the human, but that's not human. What is human is survival of the fittest. It is to stay alive as long as possible without ever questioning the meaning of our existence or why we stay alive. Existence is not rational. It's not logical. It's not something you can live in, as it were, as a way of life, because it can't be defined. And we can only live by those things that the mind can define, that it can understand, that it can comprehend. It is easily tormented. It is easily insulted. It is easily swayed. For the sake of survival, there are many things that human nature has done that has brought us to where we are. We would sacrifice love, kindness, peace on earth for the sake of our own survival. What is nation after nation? You know, or one country against another. It's all about the whole idea of sacrifice. It's about the whole idea of survival. And we want to sacrifice other people for the sake of our survival. You say you've lost your interest in goodness. Never lose your interest in goodness. This is the beginning of learning how to maybe, shall I say, get into a spiritual practice. One that is authentic, not religious, but authentic. So you start to see things in the light of a great love. You start being interested in love, putting aside the idea of benefits. See, in human love, in human goodness, there's always some kind of profit, reward, or benefit. And people never question this and never think, well, maybe it's not about all those things. Maybe it's about something else. And what would that something else be? Well, you can't talk about it with people in general. It's not something you deal with in a political rally or that you talk about in politics as a pillar of the party's, you know, aggrandizement of its beliefs and theories. And don't you understand this political thing has been going on for hundreds of years, and here's where it's gotten us. We get a lot of inept people, terribly immature people who run the country, who make the laws, terribly immature, emotionally, psychologically, mentally ill. And because the public is mentally ill, and they are the majority, they vote these people in because they see nothing wrong with them. They have no sense of the aptitude of the people they're voting in because they don't have a sense of their own aptitude. So they just vote in someone who looks like them, thinks like them, believes like them. They don't understand the cost. Yes, I understand why you would say you've lost your interest in goodness. I understand how that could happen and why. Basically because who's interested in goodness? People are only interested in power. And they're pathetic. They want this power to do what they want to do, to keep others from getting what they have for the sake of self-preservation, not realization. This is the human stain. And it goes on and on and on in our culture and our society as a way of life. Hate is the American way of life. Fear is the American way of life. And as long as we live in the West with these attitudes, we're going to find that we're counter to love. We're counter to life itself. We're counter to existence. Existence is intelligence. Real intelligence. Not IQ stuff, but deep intelligence, how to bring about love. The only true intelligence in this world is love. And it isn't the love of our emotionality. It is the authentic principle of love itself. This is not something you can teach people. They have to come to it on their own. Your sense of seeking goodness or not seeking goodness all depends on the posture of your inner self, how you sit within yourself, what you regard as true and untrue, what you think of as right and wrong, good and bad. All of that comes into play here. You must mature. So, Ryan, I say to you, yes, give up your idea of goodness and mature into love. Ripen into goodness. The goodness of a love that seeks oneness with the all. Now, all of that I just said probably sounds like hieroglyphics to you, and I understand. But until you are interested in that, which is in existence itself, beyond the confines of human mind and human thinking, you will never, never mature. It's all about spiritual maturity. And that is not a religion, and that is not a philosophy. That is the direct experience of love itself in this world. And it begins within each and every one of us. I hope that helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next question comes from Len. He does not tell me where he lives. Maybe good is changing into a new meaning of justice in this world. Maybe that's what we should be looking at, justice as good. Len, you're never going to have justice in this world. You can have as many laws as you want, but human justice is very flawed. It is based only in prejudice and bias. So you're never going to get that. You want everybody to be treated equal, so do I. But we're not all equal. And we have our own flaws. And there are some people who just will never be anything more than what they seem to be right now because they don't want to change. You want a higher law, a greater justice, then you and I have to transcend this world. We have to transcend human thought, human beliefs, human ideals. We have to give up the thoughts themselves and come into the activity of consciousness. In consciousness, we can self-realize. We can awaken. We can see things for the way they are. We can see, as I say, over the hill to the great mountains that exist just over the hill. But we don't seek that. We want what comforts our whole life, which we think is based in the body. Our whole life is devoted to the human body. Everything is about the human body. How it looks, how it feels, what it provokes, what it doesn't provoke. We're trying to do self-preservation, not spiritual awakening. We're not trying to awaken past the human body. We live in a world where everything is based in impermanence. And the body is a part of that. To devote your whole life to the human body is a sinking ship. It's going to change, it's going to get old, and it's going to get tired and eventually sicken and die, even as the Buddha said. So you're backing a bad horse here, as it were. What you must see is it isn't in human justice. It's in compassion, in mercy. We need to be merciful, not looking towards justice, but in mercy. Mercy within ourselves. And I know you're thinking, well, did we let off all the killers, all the injustices, the bad cops, blah, 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 blah. That's not what I'm saying. We have to find it within ourselves to be merciful, not subject to what's going on in the world. Are you subject to what's going on in the world? Are you subject to injustice? Am I? We are only subject to those things that we put ourselves into. Let's look for a moment here, just for a moment. Was Jesus subject to injustice? This man who came to show us the way, the truth, and the light. Look at all the beautiful things he tried to teach us and show us. And yet, he was killed in an unjust way for crimes he never committed. And this was supposedly the quote-unquote Son of God. Now, the way religion likes to pawn this off is really phony and silly, but that's the way people think. They have to rationalize the evil of the human being and all that other stuff. I'm not going to get into the, you know, rationalization of his death, but if you are a person of any measure of consciousness, you can see he put himself in that position. He did this for reasons you and I would not be able to understand in our collective mind. We would think of it as being unjust. But it was his karma, his life, his essence, his purpose in this world to do the things he did, to show us another way. He was a great master, a great teacher. Buddha, on the other hand, he taught his truth, but people hated him for it. They spit on him, called him names. He had to stay out in the woods. He couldn't even come into town, because if he did, he took ridicule. His own brother tried to hunt him down and kill him for many, many years. So this isn't a popular thing. What is justice? People who teach love or who seek love, people who were beginning to do that, like Gandhi, even the Kennedy boys were just beginning to consider the idea of equality, just beginning as they were killed. You begin to see all of this and start to understand the meaning and the significance of love. There will be no justice on this earth. For whatever law that can be passed that would be of equanimity to anyone will be sidecast and sidestepped for the sake of self-preservation. There'll be a big fight. We'll never get anything done. You want to know what to do in all of this craziness? Transcend. Live your life on the premise of love. Live your life on the premise of consciousness, and come what may. If you can do that, if you are willing of that, you will forgive those who have persecuted you. You will forgive those who have, in your opinion, despitefully used you. You will start to see things in the light of a great compassion that you had never seen before for the sake of lovingness. Nothing is more important than loving one another. Nothing. And it is hard because there's a lot of people out there who are mentally ill, really mentally ill. All these kids that were on Ritalin and drugs when they were little because their parents couldn't handle them now are out there drinking, driving, protesting, yelling, screaming. They're mentally ill. They have a lot of problems. They were never taught how to live with their mind and how to shape and use it in a way that brought about peace in this world and contentment in their own life. They just weren't taught that. And they didn't have a chance because of the chemical imbalances that were going on, that they were being fed not only through, you know, drugs, but through food, water. We are contaminated, and we don't really want to see it, but we are. So there you are. Len, I hope that helped you. That's my answer. Not very logical or satisfying, eh? Please forgive me. Namaste. Len, I want to thank you for your kind comments, too. Last question. This is from, Ted. I'm sorry, Ted. How can meditation help me find the good and live it in my life? As you often say in your programs, Ted. And Ted lives in Texas. Thank you for sharing your origins there. How can? Meditation is a mystical experience. And there is a tremendous mystery to it. And yet there is even a science to it. And all of these things are not things that I can sit here and talk about on my program and make sense out of for you. Because the moment you start to make sense out of meditation, it is no longer meditation any longer. It loses its savor. The salt has lost its savor in that way. There are things you must be drawn to just naturally. And if you're not drawn to meditation, if inner work is not something you are drawn to, then what can I say? There is nothing that I could ever share with you that would help you understand, because you would be looking at it again from the mode of self-preservation and not loving service to humankind. So let me give you an example real quick, and then I got to get out of here. You came in, I came in with a karma. And Ted, that karma has to be realized in this life. Sometimes in realizing that karma, we go through many difficult things. Trials, tribulations, insults, injuries, all sorts of things. But it is all worth it if we realize the state of our karma and we do not allow our karma to overwhelm us with the sense of futility, because karma is not a matter of futility. It is a matter of awakening. Until you are willing inside of yourself to consider that your mind is not a worthy vessel for your life, you will not find meditation being of much help. You have to be totally convinced inside yourself that you need to meditate, to awaken, to sustain meaning in your life. You must want meaning over survival. And most people do not want meaning over survival. They want survival and think that is the meaning. And it is not. They've got the cart before the horse. Now, until all of that happens in you, meditation will only look like some kind of technique that, by the bias of Western logic, only Easterners do. And look where they are, blah, 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 blah. So you have to decide what you want to do. Beyond your bias, do you live? Or in your bias, do you cover up the indifference you have towards the meaning of your own life? You're not going to find it in the world. You're not going to find it in logic and reasoning. You're going to find the meaning of your life in the existence that lives within you, that is only found as love. Ted, I hope that helped you. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Well, there you are, another weekend. I hope it helped you. I really do. We'll be back next weekend. I hope you'll join me. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.